people to ensure proper networking, but not too huge so that it becomes impossible. The program is also featured different formats of sessions to again allow not only the emergence of insights, but also to allow interaction and discussion that is really output oriented. And those, I think, are quite important elements, both in terms of networking and in terms of insights and program.
It's true, as Yael has mentioned, that the perception gaps still exist. And I can see a number of European countries where there is just the beginning of the realization of the true potential of India. But this gap is beginning to be narrowed. I think of some countries which until now were not, for instance, involved in the India Global Innovation Connect, and for the first year will be involved because they realize the potential of India. So I think this is a kind of plus for the Indian context.
Hello and welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses, and professionals who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as their mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. They allow principles to take precedence over ad hocism. For them, profitability is as important as scale, creating and leading new categories and innovations. In each episode, I speak to one such leader or leaders, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, agonies and excesses, and of course, the little joys of life. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial and professional journeys.
Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms.
For this episode, I'm delighted to have Claude Smadja and Yael Smadja of Smadja and Smadja.
Before creating Smadja and Smadja, Claude Smadja was the managing director of the World Economic Forum from 1995 to 2001.
He has been involved with the World Economic Forum for 14 years, first as a member of the executive board before rejoining the organization as its managing director. Claude Smadja sits presently on the boards of three international corporations and is also a member of the International Board of Overseers of the Illinois Institute of Technology. Yael Smadja is the CEO of Smadja and Smadja USA. Yael has over two decades of experience in orchestrating high-profile international conferences, consulting for Fortune 500 companies, and spearheading trend analysis in geopolitical and economic landscapes. Yael is also a writer and a speaker on mission-critical issues, such as women entrepreneurship, leadership issues, among others. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Claude and Yael. Delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Claude, first to you. Can you talk a bit about India's image problem, if I may, and if there is a disconnect so far as the international community is concerned? How do you, someone who has been tracking India's economy over the last 2.5 decades or so, or probably more than that, 3 decades or so, how do you see the evolution of India? How do you see the transformation of India? And do you see India's emergence as a global power in the economic firmament of the world? Do you see that India, the time for India as an economic power has come, Claude?
Yes, Gaurav. And I would say that I have been involved with India since now 52 years, coming to India about 4 times a year, except for the COVID time. And I would say that as somebody who has been witnessing the course of the country for so long, I do believe that India is now truly at an inflection point. During many, many occasions, India had been a kind of roller coaster. You get full of optimism and hope, because of political pronouncement, because you feel that some actions on critical issue will soon happen. And then you get very disappointed because there are distractions, because implementation and execution is not there. And I do believe that in the last 10 years, this kind of roller coaster, I would say, pattern has stopped. India is definitely now in a situation where execution and implementation is happening, and is happening at the service of a vision of what the country deserves to be. I think the progress in terms of infrastructure building, I think what we see happening with the encouragement of entrepreneurship and innovation, the focus on technology, the continuity of economic policy, these are really, I would say, the key ingredients for India to achieve its legitimate ambitions to become one of the key global powers of the 21st century.
That's a great way of articulating India's transformation as you have seen it. Yael, coming to you, what are the typical challenges faced by startups in accessing funding, both in India and globally? Yael?
Well, yes, Gaurav, thank you. I would like first to add something about your previous question, because you started with the mention of a disconnect. And as much as I agree with Claude, I think there is also a bit of a disconnect between the reality on the ground in India and what the outside perceives. And that goes also to entrepreneurship, because success stories in India from the outside are very often perceived as the exception, when on the ground, they're not an exception. And I think in that sense, we can probably mention a bit of an image problem. I don't know if Claude would agree with that or not. I think it's very important that, and I think that IGIC, the India Global Innovation Connect, is one of the little pieces that kind of helps in solving that disconnect, and really showing the strength of entrepreneurship and of success story in India. Now, to your question, I think in terms of funding, the trends are pretty much global, and the funding is becoming a lot more difficult for startups everywhere, and particularly, of course, also in India. So in that sense, I think it's a global trend of funding being a little more difficult. I don't know if Claude wants to add on that.
Claude, would you like to add on that?
Yes. Yes, if I may. I do believe that funding has become more difficult. There is more intensive scrutiny about valuation, about the true innovation capabilities of startup, on their abilities to sustain activities and to scale up in a way that will ensure profitability. However, I think India has, in terms of advantage, one key element, which is the fact that today, the geopolitical situation makes it more difficult to invest in certain countries, whether for geopolitical reason, as I said, or whether with respect to uncertainties about future prospects. And the fact that India seems to be on a very sustainable course gives a kind of premium. This premium is consolidated by the way India is now becoming a source of innovation that MNCs are able to integrate into the global delivery of their services and products. So I think this is something which, as Yael has mentioned, despite the fact that the situation is more difficult, this gives, I would say, some kind of advantages compared to some other countries. And last but not least, back to the perception gap, it's true, as Yael has mentioned, that the perception gap still exists. And I can see a number of European countries where there is just the beginning of the realization of the true potential of India. But this gap is beginning to be narrowed. I think of some countries which until now were not, for instance, involved in the India Global Innovation Connect, and for the first year will be involved because they realize the potential of India. So I think this is a kind of plus for the Indian context.
Absolutely. You know, how does IGIC facilitate the exchange of experiences and ideas among Indian entrepreneurs and the counterparts from other countries? Maybe Claude first and then Yael later. Yael, would you like to weigh in with your views on this?
I think we can contribute because of the uniqueness of the India Global Innovation Connect. We have been able in the first two editions and even more for IGIC 2024 to bring quite a number of foreign startup founders, to bring quite a number of foreign VCs executives to see by themselves, to interact, to realize what is the potential. For instance, if I take the kind of sessions that we have on technology updates, disruptive technologies such as AI, semiconductor, fintech, health tech, deep tech, you can see in this session where you have foreign startup founders and Indian startup founders that the Indian startup founders are playing at least on an equal footing with their foreign peers. People can see by themselves the kind of trajectory, the kind of evolution, the kind of dynamics which are at play here. And at the end of the day, you get back to this very simple notion that seeing is believing.
Yael, would you like to add to that?
Yes, I would. Again, totally agree with what Claude mentioned, but I think we should also mention that the quote-unquote, the mix that is on stage and that is very well thought through is also very well thought through in the audience to make sure that we have a critical mass people to ensure proper networking, but not too huge so that it becomes impossible. The program is also featured different formats of sessions to again allow not only the emergence of insights, but also to allow interaction and discussion that is really output oriented. And those, I think, are quite important elements, both in terms of networking and in terms of insights and program.
Obviously, the next logical question is about innovation. What role does innovation play in ensuring the sustainability of businesses, particularly in the startup ecosystem? How can startups leverage disruption as a catalyst for innovation and growth? Yael?
That would be a question for a specialist, but my two cents are that innovation is obviously crucial. However, the question is always discerning the fads from real innovation. And I think that's a key issue. And that's probably one of the issues also in terms of viability and survival of startups, which are founded on innovation that is a fad or that is real, which will ensure the survivability of the startup. As to the process of destruction, that's a much longer discussion. But I think one of the key issues and one of the key skills for startups, but also actually for established companies, is their flexibility and their ability to adapt nowadays, and especially after COVID. I think that's a really, really crucial element. Claude, you may want to add on that.
Claude, would you like to add to that?
Yes, if I may. I think that I would subscribe to what has been said. I would add two things, and it gets back to India getting into the act on these two things. First of all, I think we have now these linkages which didn't exist until very recently between academia, business, and startup. This has been a crucial element in the surge of innovation in big countries like the US, or even in a small country like Switzerland. And this element had been missing for a very long time in India, and it is happening now, and it is happening with a great amplitude, which is very promising. The second element, which I think is very important also, is that in the kind of environment in which startup can really operate with maximum potential, maximum capabilities, in this environment, the element of fundamental research is important. Fundamental research has been completely, I would say, taking second fiddle or even third fiddle role in India. And here again, we see now the realization that this element has to happen and has to become another of the drivers of innovation which can be translated into marketable products and services.
Absolutely. And Yale, you know, coming to you, in which specific sectors are significant technological advancements currently taking place, Yale?
Oh, I would say health tech, fintech, definitely. Those are the first that come to mind. All the what do you call that? The feminine health tech applications. There's a lot on that and that we have seen at IGIC, which was extremely interesting. Claude, help me there. Those are the two sectors that are really striking for me.
Claude, do you think significant technological advancements are, and specifically, which are the areas you think significant?
I think, as Yael has mentioned, fintech is one big example. Health tech is also another big example of what is happening in India. I would add definitely AI. I see today the number of startups which are leveraging AI to develop new services and products or expand the capabilities of these services and product. Of course, everybody speaks about semiconductors. Here, India is trying to build a position of its own to be a global player in the semiconductor industry, but there are some challenges that needs to be addressed when it comes to production. Semiconductor design is already something in which India has a very, very strong position, whether from companies operating in India or from the place that Indian engineers are being employed all over the world with respect to fab design. So this is also a factor that I would mention. Last but not least, I think aeronautical space is also an extremely promising sector, as we have seen with the performance that India and some Indian startups have achieved in this domain.
And Claude, just to add to what you said, how does India compare to other countries? You mentioned briefly about it in terms of technological innovation, adoption sectors, particularly in, say, generative AI, health tech and fintech, etc. Do you think India is right up there among the top innovation adoption countries in the world?
Claude? Okay. Yes, Gaurav. I think India, like China, in fact, is one of the fastest adopter of technologies, of new technologies, definitely. And this is a tremendous asset. It suffices to see what has been happening with the leveraging of the smartphone, the leveraging of the internet all over India. It suffices to see what has been happening with the leveraging of the open technology platform in which India excels. And in that respect, for instance, the UPI or the Aadhaar are becoming, I was about to say, almost iconic examples of that. So I think India might not be yet fully there, but it is getting very close to be there.
Absolutely. Yael, coming to you, if you would like to add to what Claude said.
I did, in the sense that on the last point about AI, I also think that we see a number of Indian companies competing on the global scene for services, especially online, that are powered by AI, and that's new and extremely powerful right now, I think.
I was going to ask you one question, which is, you know, what are some of the effective strategies for fostering a culture of innovation within startups globally? I ask you this question because the culture of innovation is absolutely essential and critical for any startup to succeed and prosper. So what are some of the effective strategies do you think is necessary for this?
Well, I think that, as Claude was mentioning before, the focus on research is absolutely crucial. The culture, the enterprise culture that would be promoting and fostering, again, efficient and useful innovation. But as to what specific strategies, again, I think that's a question for a specialist, but what we have seen and heard at IGIC, the success in terms of fostering innovation never falls far from an encompassing enterprise or startup or company structure and environment.
Claude, would you like to that as a last word? Would you like to, you know, touch upon and flag some effective strategies
for creating this culture? First of all, I think you need to create the notion of acceptance of risk, acceptance of a possibility of failure. I think that is one element which I think is important. The second element which I would like to mention is the importance of a role of angel investors and accelerators, because they provide this kind of supporting, I would say, structure that can make people more feel more ready to move into to move beyond the comfort zone, they are really factors which can add to the confidence of entrepreneurs to move into areas where you don't necessarily master at the beginning all the key elements that you need for a successful strategy. I think the third element is, and this is something which is happening in India, is the fact that in a way, you create a national culture where entrepreneurship becomes a national value, which is being nurtured, which is being cherished, that entrepreneurship making profits, becoming rich, contributing to the national wealth, contributing to the social development of a country, makes of you a very, I would say, useful citizen. This culture has not always existed in India, to be very honest. Until the beginning of the 90s, I would say that it was almost inexistent. And in fact, business leaders were seen with a lot of suspicion, if I can use that word. This has changed and it needs to continue to change. So this is something that you need to start already when people are at school, to so that they understand that creating value is important, contributing to the country by the creation of value, by the creation of prosperity for people, by creating the conditions of better life through a sustainable and useful technology, is something that makes you a very, very good, honorable citizen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Claude and Yael Smadja, for sharing your deep insights and perspective on a variety of issues and taking the time out and dropping by to have these conversations.
Thank you so much, Gaurav.
Thank you for having us.